I would like to thank God for this opportunity to be with you this morning. And I thank you, Scott and Stamps and David, for introducing me so well, but so high for me. I'm just humbled, a servant of God. And together with you, I'm happy to pray this morning. And I am extremely joyful to see people like you praying God with a certain enthusiasm, a certain confidence. Nothing better than this if for an individual who believes in God and you find your companions, your colleagues doing the same, it reinforces your faith much more again. And it deepens your relationship with God. I am, as they have said, Bishop Eduardo. I come from the Catholic Church, and you know we become what we are sometimes mainly because we are born into such a situation. If I was born in this community, I would be eventually grown up with you. The people to whom God gave me were already in the Catholic Church, so they took me through that direction. And I'm happy that today I was the first time to participate in prayer as you was, and you saw I participate in the Holy Eucharist, I mean the communion with you, because this is God. These are people, God, worshiping God. How can I say I don't go there? Maybe in my church they would have asked you, no, wait, who are you and so on. But I think we have got to learn to be like Christ. He goes and reach to everyone. He doesn't make the distinction. And so I was happy you didn't ask me to stop. Thank you so much. Now, let me give room to share with you the Word of God. Extremely, I felt to pray with you this morning and to encourage ourselves together in our belief in God. And I wanted us, and really us through, one of the beautiful part of my faith in God, and I've always picked it from the first book of our Bible, the Genesis. You know, there is that spiritual development I have over a period of time been able to capture from that first page of our Bible. Because human beings have been asking several questions, and why am I here, where do I come from, where do I go? And with the advances in our world, and we likely can try to think that we are creating the world from nothing. But that first page tells us that God created, God existed, and He created the world. He gave the chapter 1 as whole, and you meditate on it, and that's what I do quite often. You find the presence of God in the world, and it begins to make that world look the way it is in a very organic way, very attentively. In fact, the people who were inspired to write this first part of our Bible, if you read that chapter 1, the first day before that was a void, was emptiness. And then God started to organize it. The first day He created 1 and 2, and then until the sixth day. But if you look at that, everything He was doing, He was doing it with a lot of carefulness. And He was evaluating every gesture. Whenever He created one of those beautiful things that we see now, and He would say, He found it very good. He found it very good. In verse 26, when He came to the point of creating human person, would He say, Now, let us create human being in our likeness. In other translations, it's in our image. Ours, the God the Father, the God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, looking at that, in chapter 2, the first verse of it all, chapter 2, it explains that God did his good work. Everything was good, and he rested. And then he dedicated the last day as a holy day. That means the work is finished. I have organized the world in a very nice way before the creation of human person. Everything is put at their disposal, because as they come in this world, they will find whatever they need to make themselves happy. He made a provision and put our store well-staffed, everything available. And at the end he says, okay, then I create them. And now that the work is well done, and then I have to celebrate. God rested. Can God rest? Can he go for rest? The rest of God is holiness, is goodness, where all is in all, where all is in place. This has actually helped me, and I really want to, just as a part of my reflection with you, has helped me to view things, myself first of all, in that conduct. I'm part of that whole organization of the world, and everything that I see and I enjoy, that gives me pleasure, that gives me joy, that gives me my satisfaction. I know that my God loved me so much, and he made the provision of the things before I came into this world. And therefore, I have got to respect all those things. I've got to handle them in faith, and I've got to touch them as sacred things. And he made them, and I'm one of those. He created in his image. He made me with my brothers and sisters. So every human person counts, because that was made in his image. Now, it humbles me, because if in any way, if I'm tired, and that happens sometimes, and I'm like, you know, overburdened, and someone is coming to my office and wants something, and if I a little bit forget and I ask like, Harsh, what do you want? What can I do for you? This is not the time to meet you. Why don't you make an appointment? And later on I recollect, I say, no. Why should I have spoken that way? God has given me so much, and this individual is coming to me to be touched. I should change, and then I rebuke myself in my room, and I have to come out. And it has worked, and I'm telling you, it has even healed me. It has healed me. The last day I was coming here, I went to meet the doctor to see the number of my stress, because the stories that I go through, I was suspecting maybe I'm already having a terrible stress. And the doctor looked at me and said, but you guy, you with the listening to your thing, you seem to be flexible. Is that true? He said, yes. And he was asking for my secret, and I said, the Creator. And the Creator is the one who continues, you know, despite the difficulty stories. So, dear brothers and sisters, the common denominator for all our being and for what we do is Christ, God our Father. And day after day, and every time we remind ourselves of where we come from and what we belong to and what we are supposed to do in return for the goodness of God. And every morning you get up and say, thank you, God. And you don't know how much God has done for you. Now, looking at that story of the creation, and David brings me here to California, Santa Barbara. And honestly, without any doubt in my mind, at the back of my mind, I have not visited all the states of the United States. And if I can make by deduction, this is the nicest city in the whole United States. I just feel it. And I arrived last evening just looking at the place. The air I was breathing, the structure given to what, you know, in verse 22 of the first part of the Bible, God says, you fill the earth and subdue it. And in a way, he was giving a command to be co-creators of the world. And the people in this area have actually obeyed God so much. They have actually co-created this place with him and making it one of the best places. I've been to many places and tell you, I walked from my hotel to a restaurant this morning. Almost everybody I met as I was going was greeting me. In some places, you're a stranger, you're like, why are you greeting me? Then I realized these people are so relaxed. And then I went to the restaurant. I was trying to get a chair. There was a lady sitting next by. She pushed her chair and welcomed me. This is a place where God rested. And it is showing that the people here have admired their God and have given their best to it. Now, with this, I also, in the light of the first part of our scripture, the Genesis, God has made us and provided so much good for us. And the people in this part of the world have done it. So if you recall, and just give a few seconds, you will recall great people in this place who have committed themselves with all that good bless them to make this area one of the best places to live in. They've done all they can. And where we live now, there are those historical persons. In our church, we talk about saints. The saints are not that they have not sinned, but there are certain remarkable things in the life of those individuals that they actually show their love for God through those. It could only mean greeting people. That somebody can be canonized for just greeting people, sending cards or best wishes, calling people on the phone, how are you out today? And this is a saint. And not only then moving towards those who are lonely and who have no one to talk to them, and you spend your time with them. They are saints. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we are saints for those good things, and as we recall those people. I speak to you as I come from South Sudan, and I see that beauty of God, that love of God, that reality of God in my life as a fortunate person. I come from a family. I was the last born, and I happened to be the last born simply because my mother was killed when I was only 2 months old. Now, my grandmother raised me, so I have a tremendous respect for grandmothers and grandparents, actually, because I grew with them. And when I was like becoming of age, and my grandmothers noticed that I had some doubts, why should my grandmom look older than me? My colleague said her mother's a bit younger. She told me, "You, Edward, I'm not your direct mother, I'm your grandmother. I gave birth to your mother and she was killed," as she explained to me. And honestly, it really is good to know God. And I grew with a lot of hate in myself because she explained to me the people killed my mom. And they were from another faith, from another race. And there were those actually, as David was saying, imposing the new version of Islam on us all. And so one day, that changed my life, as I always said. One day when I joined the seminary, my grandmother raised me and she kept me I must know that I'm a gift from God. And this one priest, he was an American, also a Jesuit, And he came to teach us about justice and peace. And the idea was that we grow up as a, if we become priests, we can continue to build peace among our people. And this priest was introducing justice and peace, and we were so angry with him. And me personally, I thought he was bribed to make us weaker so that we can, live with these people. And we were in Sudan, and David knows what I'm talking about. He came to Sudan, to Khartoum at that time. And this priest, we sent him out of the class the first day. The second day, again, we were very naughty. He has to leave the class. Because we were all children from South Sudan who had suffered tremendous persecution. The third day he came with my name in his mind. He just came, walked the class, and he said, "Edward, I have a question for you." And he was called Eddie Brady, also the same name as Edward. And he said, "Edward," I said, "Yes, Father." He said, "I have a question for you." I said, "Okay, please, what is it?" He said, "I want to ask you a question, Edward. Would you be happy to have babies of 2 months and their mothers get killed, all of them, so that you will be many who have actually lost your mothers when you are 2 months old? Will you be the happiest man? That will make you happy?" And I kept quiet for a while, and I told him, "Father, no, I will not allow that. And I will definitely, if I have powers at my disposal, I'll do all I can to see that no child, no single child, should ever lose its mother to violence when it is growing, or nobody should ever be killed, because I know what I've gone through in the absence of my mother." That changed me, and from that day on, I was involved in social justice. And I went, when people were sent to a terrible place, you cannot believe a human being can stay there. The Christians and South Sudanese were sent to those places. I was one of those who sat there for recording the abuses that were happening and to follow people who were being abducted. And David has been to that place in Khartoum. And so, in a way, this all because of the background. My mom, my grandmom, always told me, "Edward, at night as you go to bed, you must pray. We have to pray because you never know what happens tonight." And in the morning, I want to jump out and say, wait, you have to pray. And I've grown with it now. All through, every time I'm going to bed, even if I'm tired, at least I will have a word to say in terms of prayer. And then waking up in the morning, the same. Dear brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us, to build up our plan, the good works, the meaningful work of God. That's what I'm speaking about, the meaningful work of God and His dream for humanity. His dream for the world has been shown in what He created in all of us. And the same as Christ came, if you read the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it speaks about the plan of Jesus for the world. The Son of God came into the world, and one of His manifesto, His mission statement, and it was, "I come so that I give sight to the blind. I come to help those who are downtrodden. I come to release those in prison." Why should the mission statement of the Son of God be particularly about the people in need? Which means He wants the balanced society. This is not what He created. And that actually has made a tremendous impact in my life. That has become part of my spirituality. I like reading this passage of Christ every day, every now and then. Because it encourages me to see if the Savior, the Son of God, coming into this world, had this as His plan, to reach out to those in need. Who am I who should sit and not think about this individuals in our society, and they are there. We have just prayed for them. There are people, tremendous, huge number of people who have no one even to give them a phone call, who have no one to pass by and say hi, who may not have daily bread, who are not staying in a place they like. There are so many of those. Then I see the mission that God has given me to be longer and to be actually tuned towards that. And I want to encourage you, dear brothers and sisters, as you develop, and I know you do, your mission statement in life, every day, that where you need to be and where your heart is. Because touched by Christ, one of those elements of Christ is part of what you do. Our prayer is answered, our prayer becomes concrete when it is realized in action. When it is touched individual, when it is an object. And that's why you know that I'm praying. I can enjoy my prayer. I can enjoy my work. And I want to encourage you much more, you know, as you believe in yourselves, because as you believe in God, knowing that you actually come from God, and you are part of that bigger family that God has made. And then your work, there are those moments of disappointments. There are moments that you feel low. There are moments where your plans don't work the way they are. There are those things that you have laid down, you want them to be carried out and done. You just be happy because the plan of God is different. You may have set up a time, I want to leave tomorrow in the morning, I want to do this. Something happens. God knows that. And that's something that we need to work on. And as we move on with the Lord, He answers to the needs that are there. We have not to take things for granted, we have to build them in God. And one last thing I want to leave you with is one of my favorite passages. Is the letter of St. Paul, the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. Mind you, there are many things God has given us. And I realized that in my life when I was sent to a refugee camp, because after being converted as a new convert for working for peace, and in the refugee camp, I've been in it 3 times. This is where you come to the reality of your life. Really being a refugee means you have run. Sometimes you run off at midnight with what you have on your body and begin a new life. You see frustration in young people, in the parents. They worry for their children, for their future. Sometimes with all the energy you have, you should be able to use in your own home country, and it's lacking. But there are moments, I would like to say, events that are not, that look like negative. We need to work on them in a positive way and we benefit from them. And my life in the refugee camp, I was running a seminary, and which was purely for Catholic candidates who are trained to be priests. And you cannot allow boys and girls who are not having the intention to be in that school. But because I saw it was the only school, and a huge number of young people without going to school, and then I said, no. I'm going to admit all these children to study with my seminarians, even with the girls. And the hardline Catholics were so angry. Said, this boy, he's still young and he doesn't know the doctrine. How can he allow the girls to come and study with the seminarians? That means all these boys are going to spoil. Of course, to pull behind me some energy, I wrote to my bishop and explained to him that I feel out of place having a good school only for the few students studying to be priests and a huge number of young people living without going to school. Please, I have opened this. We can only put 16 for, we bring in some elder women who will be putting order and following the girls, but they can attend the classes together. And how long shall we even protect these boys? Because when they become priests, they will live in a society. They should begin to learn that now. And my bishop said, yes, Edward, you just allow them to study. And today, that bore a lot of result. So I'm saying in every event that you'll find, which is hard, which is not moving, we are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are wise in Him. We are stronger in Him. We could be weaker in our bodies. And I like this because it has given me strength. So I want to pray with you this morning and to encourage you to move on beyond the things that that could be handling you. And giving praises to the good work you do. Praise yourselves. Praise your family members. Praise the people you find among you. And thank God. Because these things are not anything you can take for granted. As you live here and beyond that, there are other things that happen. Every day, we never take things for granted. And I want to conclude my sharing with you and to leave you with the message of confidence in God. In an experience I had while working for, with this work, in our church at my age, I will not be a bishop, but I don't know where the whole thing came about, but they asked me to be a bishop. And the work in our side, being a bishop, if it in a real sense, like here in the United States, probably I think I should, your work will be there to prepare your reflection, your prayers, and, you know, to pray with the people. But in my place, a bishop is everything. A bishop is in charge of building the road. A bishop is consulted for a structure of the building. Bishop is asked, my wife is sick, my child is sick. Bishop, what can I do? All that human beings go through in our place, a bishop becomes part of that. And you find if anything is happening in society, you are actually supposed to be the number one in front of it. I have a situation where all young people went to the bush to fight. And everybody took cover because they had to protect their lives. I said, no, I'm not going to remain like this. I called all the other churches and I said, please, we have this situation. We all believe in God. We do the work of God. We have to work for peace. And we were in, and all these colleagues of mine from different Pentecostal, Evangelical, Lutherans, all the other churches in my place, we all came together. By the way, I have to tell you, we have a very, very good ecumenical spirit. As I stand here, I'm very much at home because of what we do there. And so we asked the government to allow us to go to reach out to the young people who were having guns in their hands in the bush. And the government, because the local governor who was where I was extremely against me. He was very harsh. And because people would listen to us and he thought we can turn people against them and whatever. Then I encouraged, I said, please allow us to talk to those children. He tried, but it was not working well. I had to go to the president and I told the president, look, Your Excellency, so many young people are in the bush, and if you may have the best gun, you throw into that bush forest, all those boys and girls will die. Would that be a victory for you, Your Excellency? He said, no. It's okay. What can we do? He said, Bishop, if you can help to bring out those boys, it will be a blessing. I said, I need your protection. And he did it. He asked his security director to give us the protection. To cut the story short, our movement with all these different colleagues from different churches and including the Muslims, we were moving on into the bush. More than 3 times we were put on our knees with a gun on our heads by these boys because we were not fully entrusted by them. They even thought we were coming to see their hideout and come and inform the government. And the government also saying, we are going to those rebels and we are not arrested and killed. We are part of them. We were like a sandwich. But we all believe that we have the direction. Our hearts to bring peace. Our God is there. So let us not fear. Although in my heart I kept praying to God, because most of my colleagues in the churches, they are married, they have children. They said, if anything happened to one of these pastors, that would be terrible. At least me, thank God, that would be okay. But my God protected us. Those boys were threatening us. At one point, I got angry to them because I had one elder bishop, David Knowles, an old man and very respectful. He was a bishop in an Anglican church. We were all together with him on our knees. I got up and told those boys, those guns, I don't fear them anymore. You cannot allow a man of this age to come down on his feet before you. It's a curse for you. You don't do this to us. And they were a bit scared. I don't know where the courage came from. So anyway, so we were allowed. But to end the story, we managed to bring out of the bush over 10,000 of these young people back to the town to reconcile with the government. And we again followed with over 1,000 child soldiers. They were keeping in the bush, and we brought them, and then women. So when you trust in God, when you live in His, everything in His hands, and He can use you in a way that you even don't know how, and then the result comes out good. And so I encourage ourselves that the work we do, and the young people, you take care of them, let there be that trust. Trust in ourselves and the confidence in the Lord, and all will be working. And I want to assure you my prayers and your prayers for us, and especially in our difficult moment now in the country where we are struggling to build peace. It's not that easy. Our Pope Francis, you saw some of you who go on the media, he kissed the feet of our spiritual leaders and encouraging them to make peace. Somehow it touched them, because he's a man of 80 years and coming to kiss their feet, I think it has turned them around. And we see a lot of positive signs. So I want to ask your prayers for them so that they can move further. All of us here, I know we just sang a song here by the river, the mercies of God, which is a beautiful song, and that encourages us beyond whatever the Lord is available, is close to us. And I want to assure you of our prayers, and as I go back, I have to pray for you, that God will always be God in your life, that He is in charge, and He always is holy, and He is the one making things work in your life. You don't take the pride for yourself. It is Him who is doing it. And you hold in it. You know those, Abraham sang in the Psalm 137. And now when the Jews, even in out of their place, they were captured by their enemies and made, it said, now you sit, you sing for us one of the beautiful songs from your land. I mean, but the Jews for them was an offense. How can we sing God's song here? And you are a good singer. By the rivers of Babylon, David sat down, and very well, when we remember Zion. What were they remembering? They were remembering the goodness of God, the greatness of God. And so, may the grace of God, may His peace, may His harmony, may His reality, His presence remain in your life. As He had a plan for you, He created this beautiful world, the things that we use, He made them for you. And He made you in His image, and all of us. And always that remains a common denominator, and you participate with him in making this world a better place, either in peace, in harmony, in development, in togetherness, in worship, but above all, in holiness. Because where God is, it is holiness. And holiness is that rest that we can have in God and our hearts be assured. God, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate and I adore you because today you have brought us together. May your blessings, your guidance, your enlightenment continue to touch our hearts. May we love you above everything. Touch all those in need of your love, your children who are here, who have listened to your words, and those who are far, that we may always remain and your holiness be seen in our lives, in our faces, in our activities, that you will always remain God in our life, in whatever we do. May your blessings remain with us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, we have time for one question, and I'm going to ask you. Okay. So my question is, something you said before you finished, you said you described yourself as a new convert working for peace. And it just struck me, what if that what conversion means? I mean, what if that is what it... What if everybody was a new convert worked for peace?
The world will be heavenly. It will be God's. Yeah. New convert really means when you turn away from hate, because hate is like prison. You know, when you are in hate, it is the same. You know, if you remove the hate, it will be anger. So when you are angry, your face is not okay. You don't look nice. And so, I wasn't hate. Even looking at those people for me was not a good thing. Though I was living in the north, when we move in the public buses, these are the guys who killed my mother. It remained in my mind. But that day, when this priest talked to me, and I saw all of them just like myself, then I said, it's a new way of looking. I was seeing differently now. I didn't see them anymore. I even to call them by name in anything. And it right now, when I move on the road and when I hear confrontation, anything, I feel like being part of it in order to solve it. So that's it, that new way, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Can you sing that song again? Thank you.